You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, where I'm joined once again by Andrew Rizzitello.
Everybody's favorite Italian hero.
the only one that doesn't get eaten. unless you're in some uncharted parts of cannibal country. But otherwise. Anyway, so we are here to talk about some current stuff. It kind of came about because, just to give everybody a heads up, we are going to be talking about topical stuff. It unfortunately does overlap with politics. And as much as I don't like, I don't want this to be my show, for it to be a fixture here. Yeah. Well, that's it. I know there's so much noise out there. And that's why I honestly just want to give people a heads up right off the bat to say, you know what? This is what we're going to be talking about. And if you're not interested, I understand. Move along. Hopefully next Monday will be something you're more interested in. Or if you need to catch up on old shows, then go back and do that. Or just move on to something completely different. But the reality is there are some topical things that do bleed into how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. And as much as I don't want the crux of the show to be about that, this particular episode started off because I was bothered by something. And I'm okay with talking about it because, number one, it's my show. Number two, it's a free podcast, so I'm not trying to thrust anything on anybody. I was actually laughing the other day because during the, I guess it was the week of the RNC, Jim Gaffigan was tweeting a lot about how full of shit the president is. Heretofore referred to by me, by the way, as 45. I don't even call him by his name anymore. I'm tired of hearing his name, and I don't want to say it myself. So when I say 45, that's who I'm referring to. So some particularly conservative journalists or right-leaning publications were giving Jim Gaffigan shit because they're saying, you know, he appealed to people. He built his comedy empire, which is hysterical. It's like, it's not an empire. He's like, he is a comedian who's very successful. I wouldn't exactly say it's an empire, but not putting him down. But I think that's going a little far. But he built his empire on talking about people who shop at Walmart, eat at McDonald's and eat Hot Pockets and stuff like that. And now he's turned his back on them, or he's throwing them under the bus, or whatever the hell it is. It's like, dude, he posted something on his personal Twitter feed. He didn't, you know, you didn't buy a ticket to his stand-up show and go there expecting he was going to talk about food and family and, you know, weight and how exercise sucks or whatever. And then he starts talking to you about politics. He was doing it on his Twitter feed, on his own. You didn't pay for it. You know, it's a public forum where he can share his thoughts. So the idea, like, he's somehow betraying his audience, is, I think that's total bullshit. That honestly does bother me, but...
Well, they're probably attacking him because he, along with every other comedian or celebrity, makes themselves a brand.
In as much as... Well, everybody does, I mean, to a degree, but he's never also... He's never branded himself like, you know, one of the blue-collar comedy tour guys or something.
He hasn't, but at least in that respect, that's... probably the angle they were trying to play at.
Oh, totally. That the average American identifies with him. That middle America identifies him, and he's from middle America, so he all that stuff.
I doubt that, but whatever. Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, anyway, that's why I just wanted to mention I'm not a fan of the president. I wasn't when he was a civilian. I used to give my parents a bunch of shit when they were watching Celebrity Apprentice and saying, "Why even watching a show? Like he's a joke. He's a con man." You know, he'd be a used car salesman if not for his father's money that he spent his life losing. That's been his career up until the beginning of 2016. Anyway, so the story comes out, like a lot of people have been talking about in the last few days, about the president referring to, unfortunately, our dead servicemen and women as suckers and losers with regard to visiting these cemeteries, and particularly the one in France, which is almost 2 years ago now. Unfortunately, I heard that, and it's one of those things where I immediately thought, well, does it sound like something he'd say? Absolutely. It's even the way he talks, suckers and losers. And, you know, there's that, He's referred to a lot of people as losers.
That is his lexicon.
Yeah, like he only used the same couple of words. You know, tremendous, beautiful. He used the same superlatives for everything. And at the same time, refers to people as suckers, losers, babies. He's got the same, you know, crazy, yeah. Sleepy, crooked.
Fake news.
Yeah, he has his catchphrases. And yes. it sounds like him. And I heard that, and it's one of those things I already kind of knew. But it bothered me that it was kind of more out in the open. Like it's something you can assume. Like I don't know. Like you know it to be true, even if you haven't seen it. You just thought like, well, clearly he doesn't give a fuck about the military.
You have it. This is the mystery of faith, Chris. This is what religion is based on. You know it's true.
That's it. That's kind of where it goes to. It's our biases is kind of what I'm getting at. But anyway, I wanted to talk about as somebody who's from a military heavy family, excusing my own, you know, very, very minimal service, which wasn't frankly service. If you don't know, I did join the United States Marine Corps after graduating high school, and 6 weeks into boot camp, my knee gave out and I was discharged. So I'm not even including myself in this equation, but a lot of military in my family, from uncles and cousins all the way up to my grandfather, who fought in World War I for the United States. And that was kind of what I wanted to, despite being an immigrant, by the way, thought he was granted citizenship because he was fighting for America in the Army, and didn't find out until later on that, no, he wasn't granted his citizenship, even though he did. But that's kind of the thing I wanted to get into, the idea of proud to be in the military and what America meant to an immigrant who came here because of that. I don't want to say American dream, because I do feel like that gets thrown out a lot and everybody has their own interpretation of that. But the idea of being an American meant something to my grandfather, who chose to come here and become an American and fight for America in the First World War.
Or at least the liberties that were assumed to be given to you.
Right. As a citizen and the opportunity, that whole thing, the idea of the opportunity that America offers immigrants, which, you know, loads of people have spoken about much more eloquently than I ever could have. And unfortunately, never heard from my grandfather himself. He died when my father was young. My father was in his early teens. So I never knew the man. But the story and reading the letter of his war, which I posted on Instagram a while ago, stating his injury during the war, it's something I am proud of. I'm proud to be part of this man's lineage. And that's why, and aside from everybody else, you know, my father, and like I said, my uncles and cousins, like I have so many people who've been in the military who have been proud to, not just during the draft, but who have voluntarily enlisted. And it's something that just, it really bothered me. It really stuck in my craw, this whole suckers and losers thing, because it's something I always assumed about 45, like that he felt this way. But just the idea that, you know, God damn it, he is the president. He should have some degree of respect and should at least have some understanding on an intellectual level. Even if you can't feel it, the idea that there is this, that people are willing to make the sacrifice and that it does mean something to enlist in the military, and what that stands for and what that means for those of us who don't serve in the military. And he just doesn't. And I don't think he does. I don't think he understands any relationship that isn't transactional, particularly where he benefits and screws the other person. I just don't think he has a concept of that.
He is definitely part of that ideal of elitism. And I got that a lot. I mean, I still get that a lot from a lot of people that consider people who go into the military, the low lives, the ones who couldn't get a job normally, the paying for college and stuff like that. And listen, I get it. I understand that, like, it's almost joining the military is almost viewed as a last resort for people who don't have jobs, who don't have a career path, who may not even have something to do with their lives yet. Like, they just don't know what to do. But at least in that respect, there may be something that they find in the military, like nursing or computer sciences or something like that, that will give them the benefit once they leave, or they, you know, or maybe they don't leave and they just have a civilian job on the side kind of thing going forward. But again, I agree with you on the aspect of it doesn't sound like something that he would say Or I should say, it sounds like something he would say.
Right.
Because it's just how he comes across and everything, and it's one of his idiosyncrasies and all that other stuff.
And the way he's spoken traditionally. I mean, that was the other thing. Refuting, never referred to anybody, including John McCain, as a hero. Meanwhile, he's literally said on television interviews, John McCain's a loser. I like soldiers who weren't captured.
People don't get captured.
Exactly. Yeah. Bullshit like that when he was a candidate, no less. So the idea that he doesn't have respect for these people and what they've gone through, it kind of seems like, or it should seem like, a foregone conclusion that he doesn't give a shit about the military. And it's not like the military has, despite what he says and what his sycophants say, the military hasn't had some massive upgrade and some drastic increase in pay.
No.
You know, the veterans aren't exponentially better than they were, you know.
No, and that's a whole nother issue that we can talk about. I don't know if you want to talk about it later, but I mean, I'll definitely do another show with you on something like that, because that's a whole nother thing that I...
Absolutely. But the idea that, like, there's not even results that could support the idea that, you know, well, he obviously doesn't feel this way if he said it, because look at all the things he's done for the military. Like, there aren't those results that we can see. So that was kind of, I'm looking at it. And again, my biases, and I'll admit to them, my thing is like, well, of course he said that. That's fucked up. And after hearing about this story from The Atlantic, and it just kind of bouncing around in my head for a couple of days, I thought, you know what, this does bother me, and I am proud of, you know, the people who serve in the United States military. I'm proud of my family who has done so. And Andrew comes from a family with a lot of military, proudly so.
You do.
And I said, you know what, this is a discussion we need to have. And Andrew had a kind of a difference of opinion when I just said, I want to talk about, you know, this suckers and losers thing really pisses me off. And, you know, I want to talk about that, you know, listen, this is something that is important, and we should be proud of these people, and we should have a president who has more respect for people than this, particularly those who are literally serving this country. And Andrew didn't immediately latch on in the same way, but you can go ahead and kind of give your perspective on
the
whole thing.
So don't get me wrong. I will preface this by saying I am not a fan of his at all. I will not be voting for him this coming election. I have not been a fan of him. I did not vote for him when he was up for election the first time. So don't think that, you know, I'm all of a sudden, you know, pro Trump, one of these fucking.
Yeah, Andrew's not a defender of his at all.
I am not a MAGA hat wearing asshole. Okay. However, if you want to say the phrase in his defense, you can, but I'm not. The article that was written by The Atlantic did not prove or did not provide any sources. They said four anonymous sources. And then the Associated Press and two other was it USA Today or no, the Washington Post and one other source just pretty much copied the same article and posted it out without giving any further detail. And in an age of today, in an age where journalism is questioned, And bigger than that, in a time where you want this man out of office, why would you want to be anonymous? Why would you want to sit in the back and say, yeah, I heard him say this, that, and the other thing, but don't put my name down? Why? I would be happy that he came after me because I told the truth, that I turned around and said, yeah, this guy's an asshole. He literally said these things. I have it on tape, or I was there. You can look up my dossier and all this other shit of, you know, him saying these things. If I was part of his cabinet or his team or whatever you want to call them, I would. And he said something like that about the military and made, that's not even a gaffe anymore. You know, gaffe used to be the big buzzword when Kerry was running for president against Bush. That statement from him nowadays is just commonplace, sadly. However, it hasn't been proven. And even Vox, a group that is known for their anti-Republican, anti-establishment style of journalism, sort of came to his defense in the way of, no one is presenting good enough evidence to say that he really did say these things, because these are damning comments. Anyone, again, especially in this time of election year and the incredible divide that this country is in right now, and the hatred that each side has for each other. Why would you want to hide yourself from something like this when you're trying to, you know, bring essentially your opponent down? Also, the other thing that was brought up, at least in the Vox article that I shared with Chris, is that the flight itinerary of, I believe it was Marine One that they were going to take over to France, shows that before these statements were even said, the flight was canceled. So the idea that, you know, he canceled the flight because he didn't want to be in a graveyard full of suckers and losers is thrown out the window right there. Again, as much as it sounds like it, I'm not defending him. He is not the greatest president ever. He is not this Jesus piece that some of these fucking Republicans are making him out to be. And I can't stand it.
Yeah,
to play the devil's advocate, I will say that there has been no reputable source so far to take claim to these statements.
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree with you in as much as, yeah, there is this, there's definitely a deity complex that's going around right now with regard to him and just everybody on the right. I mean, not everybody. There are some outspoken, but unfortunately, the majority, whether giving their full throated support of whatever it is he does or trying to justify why he said what he said and why it's OK or what he actually meant when he says something stupid, even though he's the type of guy who what he's saying is exactly what he means.
What's on his mind. Yeah,
he's shallow as a puddle when it comes to the amount of depth he has for in the words he uses. He doesn't have any depth. It is kind of crazy. And actually, there is a I don't remember if I mentioned this on a previous show or not, but it really did strike me. A former New York Times writer, Barry Weiss, actually said a couple of weeks ago on Real Time with Bill Maher that the frightening thing about politics today on the left and the right, it's almost as if political party has supplanted religion as far as people's belief systems and what they stand behind and absolutely how they define themselves. And it is. I mean, it seems more it's egregious on the, you know, for Republicans and Democrats
A lot of our friends who are, I would say, more center leaning, even though they do lean one way or the other, especially the Democrats, the Democratic friends we have, are actually attacking the Democratic Party going, what are you doing? This is not who we want, meaning Biden and Harris. These are not the candidates we wanted. These are not the people that are going to change anything. They're more of the status quo than anything else.
But that's the funny part, because just like people were saying 4 years ago when it came to Bernie, this is who people voted for. So I think compared to what we have now, people are comfortable with the status quo. I mean, I don't look at Biden as, you know, the lesser of two evils in this case. And I don't think of Kamala Harris either in that way. I think they, if they represent a return to normalcy, a return to the center or whatever it is, like I get that. But the idea, the fact comes down to people voted for Joe Biden more than they did the other candidates. So is it what people want? Yeah. In the same way that, you know, if you remember back, but when 45 was just a candidate, he was on the end of the stage in the corner because he was the little nut. And, you know, Jeb Bush was in the center, I believe, yep. And Ted Cruz and all these other people. So there are people who you assume are going to take the lead and won't necessarily. And to be honest, I mean, part of the problem with, you know, the whole nomination process, as much as I don't want to get into the election, although I think it's going to be unavoidable, unfortunately, in these next 2 months, just because so much of life is hinging on this and we can only view everything through the lens of politics these days. But not to really get into that right now, but the fact that there were 36 people running for the Democratic ticket didn't exactly help because nobody was able to build too much of a following until it got narrowed down. Yeah, until it got narrowed down to like 4 or 5 people, at which point people went with the person that they know. Surprise, surprise. I mean, that really, as much as, you know, Biden would have been my first choice personally, you know what? I get it. But the idea that like this isn't who we want. Well, it is, actually, because it's the one people voted for, in the same way people complained about, like, we want Bernie, but Bernie did not have the numbers to get the nomination in 2016. You can make all the cracks you want about, like, Hillary pushed him to the side and the DNC didn't want Bernie and blah, 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 blah. Fine. But people didn't show up at the polls for Bernie, just like they didn't do it this year either. So, yeah. Everybody says that because it's not what they want.
I think I hear the conspiracy theories going.
Yeah, well, and that's a whole other a whole other thing.
Yeah, that is something that, at least on my timeline, has become an object of contention that I try to fight it. I try to show people that there's the opposite is true and what they believe is completely false or it's just a twisting of the truth, and I'm giving up. I'm done with it. I can't stand it anymore. And it goes for both sides. I try to go after people who champion the left or champion the right. It seems that the right is very much more active in the conspiracy world, but
oh hell yes.
Both sides are guilty of it.
But it's embraced by up to and including the president now. The conspiracy theories and
the whole QAnon thing.
Oh,
is
fuck
just...
that. Yeah. All that shit. Like, that's actually. And again, that's one of the things where it seems like on the right, the idea of whatever defines the Republican Party, which is, you know, has mutated so drastically in the last 5 years, is a lot of that is kind of replacing religion for people. Because it's they believe it no matter what. It's unquestioned. And, you know, he in particular can do no wrong. And everything he says is the truth.
I saw there was a meme. I think I shared it with you guys, you, Jack and Ryan, through our chat once, of a picture of it's one of those memes where it says nobody. And then they fill in the blank with, like, for this one, it says my aunt's Facebook timeline. And it's got a picture of Ronald Reagan, Jesus Christ, and Donald Trump holding the American flag.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, yes, this is exactly the attitude that I feel coming off of some of these posts of, these very right-winged individuals that I know. And it's like, are you kidding me?
I feel like it's more whatever is said is, you know, on the right, whatever said by whether it's Fox News pundits, or, you know, right-wing commentators, you know, the Rush Limbaughs, Alex Jones to a lesser degree. And certainly what comes out of this administration is just what people parrot. I feel like that happens way more on the right. I'm not saying it doesn't happen on the left, but the left tends to kind of chase whatever tries to win the day's woke competition and try to outwoke the other person. Like, that's annoying, too. But that's also, I don't feel like that's a mass of people parroting the same lines. I mean, this whole, you know, like, I mean, think about 4 years ago. It was Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Nobody could say what happened in Benghazi or how many soldiers were killed or, you know, any
of
this stuff.
You sent me a piece by George Carlin last night.
Oh, wasn't that phenomenal?
It was awesome.
I loved it.
Great. I mean, obviously, it was some of it were jokes that I knew of already, like the euphemism bit.
Yeah, there are bits that he expanded on for this, but it was great. It's an awesome thing he did when his first book, Brain Droppings, came out on C-SPAN. You look it up on YouTube. It's this presser. I'll give the title after Andrew explains his point.
But he talks about, you know, the phrase is the guilty white liberal, and how why are you calling people, like, he talks about PC language and, like, why PC language is actually more racist or more wrong than traditional, what some people would consider racist. Like, instead of calling somebody black, you call them African-American. Well, guess what? People in South Africa are fucking white. Like, are they still African-American? No, you're just going and you're looking at somebody going, oh, he's black, he's African-American. No, motherfucker, he's from Ireland. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, it's also in that bit, and that was one of the things that I thought was hilarious. I've always had mixed feelings about using the term people of color, because people of color is just a reverse version of colored people in a way. So I thought, I get that this is what people want to use, and if that's what they want to use, I'm respectful of it. you know, it's the same thing with, like, some people don't like Hispanic. They prefer Latino, and I tend to say Latino rather than Hispanic. Like, there are certain things like that that I say, okay, I get it. And it's not up to me to take a position on, like, you should be okay with this because this is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I'm willing to adapt because I'm not going out to offend anybody, and I'm not so set in my ways when it comes to the speech I use and the language I use, specifically when referring to other people that, you know, where a group of people I'm not a part of, you know, ethnically, you know, or anything right. like that, racially.
Culturally or anything
right.
like that.
Like, if they have their preference, I understand, no problem. But the idea that people of color is not that far removed from colored people is kind of the thing I always thought, yeah, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that, but if that's what people, if that's a term that is socially acceptable, okay, until the line moves again and people of color is considered racist by the generation that comes after Gen Z, what's that going to be, AA? I don't know what they're going to call themselves.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what the label is going to be.
Start...
A2? Like, I don't know if we've identified.
Numbers now? Yeah.
Yeah. Have we assigned it? Like apartments? You're 2A.
It's funny,
like, really?
You bring up moving the line because you were just explaining to me before the show started about, would you say, a joke from Jim Jefferies?
Jim Jefferies has a great bit in his new stand-up special, which is on Netflix. And excuse me, it's called Intolerant, and everybody should check it out. And also the George Carlin clip is the National Press Club is you can look up that up on YouTube. It's in full from 1997-98. It's awesome. But yeah, Jim Jefferies does this thing about he's getting shit. And the only other person, the only comedian on a large level, I'm sure people address it on Twitter and shit like that. But like in a special, the only other one I've seen address the idea of everybody's looking back at what you've said in the past and you have to apologize for it, was Dave Chappelle in his last special. And that's kind of what Jim Jefferies talks about, in as much as he has one section where he mentions that people are mad about jokes he made 10 years ago when they were socially acceptable. And that kind of leads to, you know, back then, especially to release a stand-up special, he said these jokes had to clear lawyers and standards and practices and all this other stuff. They had to clear all these different areas before they could be released. He said, you know, they were behind the line at the time they were released, but now you've moved the line. So now those jokes are over the line and you're expecting me to apologize for them because now they're not okay.
And now they're offensive.
And that's it. And unfortunately, that's where we are, where it's like we got to catch people doing this. It's like, or video has resurfaced, you know, a video's been uncovered.
Yeah, resurfaced.
It's like, are you kidding?
No, somebody just went through their comedy album and something they laughed at 10 years ago. Now all of a sudden they're fucking bothered by.
Right. Well, there's a whole thing too. I mean, look, I am a shameless, for the most part, Howard Stern fan. And his stuff was brought up in probably like June. It was probably about 3 months ago. The fact that he did this thing at the Friars Club in blackface. And the joke was, if nobody remembers, at the time, I don't remember if it was at the Friars Club. It was at some event. But Ted Danson was dating Whoopi Goldberg. And he got up and had blackface and did whatever the routine was. And Howard Stern was kind of mocking Ted Danson in blackface by wearing blackface and doing this whole bit. And that was kind of the idea. But the funny part is, you know, people are finding these videos from his TV shows or bits from the radio show. It's like you're not uncovering anything. It's like, can they find, you know, these, what is it? Misogynistic bits Jimmy Kimmel did resurfaced misogynistic video. It's like video from the Man Show. This was a televised show. You didn't find anything.
Trampolines.
Like, right. Exactly. And once again, like a TV show. So stuff had to clear standards and practices and lawyers and all that. So it's not like this stuff's just put out, you know, now anybody can put out any tweet without it being vetted or put anything on YouTube or any kind of social media. And that's the shit that does get people in trouble because it doesn't go through anybody.
Now. It's that thing of like you said before, being woke and having to go back in time and forgive the sins of the past and the sins of our fathers and all this other shit, like not to defend him, but like Christopher Columbus, you know, people were up in arms a couple of years ago, maybe last year, about Columbus Day, about how Columbus brought more harm than good to this country and this, that, and the other thing. Like, why all of a sudden do we have to make a big deal about this? And why does it have to be such a big deal? Like,
well,
all right.
At the same time, Columbus Day ain't exactly Christmas. I mean, I get the idea of like, we can't celebrate this terrible person who took the land from Native Americans and all that stuff. Yeah. But you, at the same time, you don't have to. And if you want to change it to Indigenous Peoples Day, that's fine. But it's kind of, is it some kind of empiric victory that you're not? I mean, I'm not going to defend Christopher Columbus, and I'm of, you know, Italian lineage and everything. Like, yeah, my aforementioned grandfather through my grandparents on my father's side. And it's like, I'm not going to defend Christopher Columbus. And if you want to not celebrate Columbus Day or make sure that's not a thing, okay, it doesn't change history. And if you do want to say, like, no, I'm not down with this, that's okay. I'm fine with it because I'm not going to defend it. But if you feel like somehow you're a better person for that, there's so much of that superficial activity in the last couple of years. And, you know, I mean, even the same thing with, you know, Kevin Hart, when he had to go back and apologize again, which, or I should say, he was asked to apologize again for jokes he made about not wanting his son to be gay, however long ago, like 2010, 11, sort of been years. And he apologized and says he wishes he didn't have that material, and, you know, he hadn't done that material, and his views have changed and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, like, he says, like, listen, I don't think that way now. And they were jokes, or, you know, whatever. I don't remember the specific defense. I know he apologized. I didn't need to hear it from him again in order to say, now it's okay if you host the Oscars. Yeah, I mean, this whole the bullshit thing about getting
did you see how people started defending Insane Clown Posse?
No, I haven't heard anything about Insane Clown Posse. All I know is Juggalo Fest or whatever it is was canceled this year because COVID. That's the last thing I heard about Insane Clown Posse.
So apparently one of the two of them came out and said, like, without prompting, came out and said that, you know, yo, we said some horrible things back when we started because that's the way I used to think. And now obviously the world has changed and I don't think that way anymore. So now all of a sudden they're being celebrated by the, I guess you would consider it the LGBTQ plus whatever committees and lifestyle, because one of them came out and said this. But, like, why? Like, it's not even, like, number one, they're not huge. It's not like it's Eminem turning around and saying that all of a sudden, you know, he's going to champion gay rights.
Yeah, exactly. This is a mainstream figure. Like, that's a very small but loyal audience that ICP has. But I don't look at it as, yeah, we finally got ICP to join the, you know, 2020, and they got our way of thinking. Yeah. Like, is that a victory? Is that a bigger victory than, say, Columbus Day, or is it on the same level? I don't know. It really is. We're in such a weird era now where, the line keeps moving. And again, watch that Jim Jeffries special, everybody. But it is very strange as far as where people land today. Now, just to kind of circle back to where this whole thing started. And that's why you got me thinking when you mentioned it. And Andrew was slightly scared that, like, I was going to attack him over this on the show. Like, the idea was, like, you know, I said, talk about the military and the positive things, and that, you know, this is the pride as we understand it. Clearly, the president doesn't. And yes, the Vox article Andrew read explained it, but it didn't exactly disprove anything. It just says, you know, there is these allegations are called into question because the sources are anonymous. Now, I do want to ask you, and this is in the audience, Andrew, this isn't the royal you, this is you specifically, Andrew. Does it make a difference if somebody came out and it was, let's say, a former White House staffer, somebody who was on the trip, something like that, and you didn't know it was, let's say it was, you know, I am Robert Cummings III, and I'm a former White House staffer, and I overheard these comments, blah, blah, blah. Does that change the believability for you because there's a name and face attached to it, and you know that he worked in the White House?
Again, going back to what I said, the fact that especially because of the time we live in and the question of journalistic integrity has been brought up so often by both sides, not just by this administration. Yes, the fact that someone would be brave enough to stand up and say, this is my name, this is what I did, I was there the day that he said this, and take, I guess you'd say, responsibility for this, for bringing forth this information. Yes, it would be a little bit more believable to me.
Okay.
But the fact that they said four anonymous, not just one, four anonymous people, and then it's repeated in four other major news articles, again, without going back and saying who they were.
Well, unfortunately, that's everybody aggregates or, you know, hijacks everybody else's thing. Yes. It's like everybody picks up on, and the AP does that with everybody. They just kind of pick up everybody's news. But now everybody's doing it because news travels in real time. So that does happen. But also, to be fair, it all, I mean, that was also verified by Fox News. Their correspondent, Jennifer, I don't remember her name. Again, this isn't a news show, and I don't want to pretend it is. But she did. There was an interview she did on Fox where she confirmed everything on, I believe it was, I don't know the names of all the Fox anchors. It wasn't one of the big two, but or big three, I should say, shows. But what the story was corroborated by a Fox News reporter. So there is something to that. Now, as far as the anonymity thing, I do agree with you. However, given the circumstances of what we're dealing with right now, anybody who has come out and said anything negative with regard to the president publicly has been dragged through the mud in every possible way, in all sorts of ways. I mean, you know, he's tweeting at people to harass Steve Jobs' widow because she owns The Atlantic and or is part owner of The Atlantic. I mean, that's the kind of shit that he does. And also, to be fair, his followers are dangerous because they'll travel out of state with a fucking AR-15 or drive their kids out of state to a peaceful process and murder people. Right. So I get why somebody would want to stay anonymous in this case. I mean, it's the same with anybody who's accused him of sexual assault. They've all been dragged through the mud. You know, they've all had, they have to live with being tied to him forever. That's now what it is. I mean, same with Christine Blasey Ford. She's still everything, you know, she was put through the fucking ringer just because of saying this incident happened with this person you want to put on the Supreme Court to suggest they may not be as pure and righteous as you may want. They may not be the best candidate. So I get why people would want to speak on terms of anonymity, and perhaps they're even still in the administration and they know a lot and they don't want to jeopardize their job, because that is also part of the equation for me. You can't have all the good people quit, because then he's surrounded by sycophants and enablers and surrogates. And, you know, that's how bad shit perpetuates. So if somebody wants to be there who can, let's say, bear witness to this as it goes on, and maybe in the future we'll find out who these people were, but you can't just have them quit their job and then come out for this one statement and then be, you know, have to deal with the public ramifications of that. And in some case, yeah, it could be dangerous because there are some crazy gun nuts and some violent people. I mean, look at the dude who sent these, you know, pipe bombs to various journalists and celebrities and things like that. The fucking guy in, I assume it was Florida, because why not? It seems to be where all this shit happens. But you remember that, where the guy was mailing pipe bombs to people who were singled out by 45 as being enemies or, you know, against him or whatever the fuck. So I completely understand why someone would want to be anonymous in this case, because look at what happens to you if you are public, if you do speak out publicly against him or share what's negative. I get it. I really do. And if somebody did come out, to be fair as well, if it was somebody, if Robert Cummings III came out and did speak this on TV, did a television interview on whatever network, or made a video and put it on their social media, whatever it was, you would still get the same denials from the people who work in the White House, the administration, people who don't even work there.
I'm not, again, like I prefaced it before, I'm not defending him. I agree with you wholeheartedly that this is normal vernacular for him, that it would not surprise me he did say this, and it does bother me that he would say this. However, the other end of the spectrum, the fact that people were remaining anonymous to say these things against him, was my issue.
I get it, but do you think it's kind of justified? I mean, I'm not building a case for these people. I'm saying
when you describe it that way, yes. You know, there's these fucking nuts out there, like we've discussed through the remainder of the show, about how they've transformed the president into this biblical figure of righteousness when he isn't, and how racism in general, or just the us versus them mentality, has become such a stronghold in the party now that people are taking it to extremes, like you said, mailing pipe bombs or having their mother bring them to a protest out of state
where they kill two people. Yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. I do really feel like I would understand somebody speaking on the terms of anonymity, especially if they are a current staffer, because if they do have integrity and they don't want to lose their job and they want to be there to try to have some kind of positive influence. So he's now just given free rein to do whatever, or to at least be a witness to tell the story down the line and not be anonymous. I get it, because, yeah, there are these deluded people. There's a mass delusion going on. And actually, I mean, you referred to BuzzFeed News putting out that, you know, finding that that memo that the flight was canceled and everything, which, by the way, I do still think, even though there was it's on paper, is kind of bullshit, because the president of France and Angela Merkel and, you know, other people did make it there. So the fact that the United States president somehow can't make it there is, I don't know. I do think it's still kind of shitty, because not like the event was canceled. He didn't go to it. But aside from that, I mean, that could be debated.
But it's connecting the dots. That's what it was.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, as far as that goes, see, I look at that and I say, well, he's been in enough legal scuffles and had enough people, you know, take bullets for him in the past, figuratively speaking, or fall on the sword for him, whatever metaphor you want to use, that I wouldn't be surprised if somebody said, we need to get this on paper so it doesn't look like his fault. Because, again, I look at that as being right on brand. Same with using the term suckers and losers and not understanding, you know, what was in it for him? You know, all these quotes that were said. Which, even when you're taking a quote from somebody, whether it's, even if it is anonymous, or if they do come out, I mean, that's what court testimony is based on. People go to jail over, you know, somebody's testimony, because you're literally taking people at the word. I mean, everything could be boiled down to hearsay without evidence. But these days, even photo and video and audio evidence, people say, oh, that was manipulated. Oh, that's not really who it was. Oh, that's a deep fake, or whatever the hell it is. So it's like, unfortunately, everything has kind of become everything's kind of become hearsay. That's what I'm saying. And when you have these people with this mass delusion that believe that this man is saving us from Satan worshiping baby eaters and
lizard people, don't forget lizard people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a Freemason, so I'm one of them.
This is true. Yeah, you're part of it. You're part of the elites who are trying to take us down.
I am.
You've
so
feasted
much
on babies, yes. And that's not scotch and rye. That's baby's blood you're drinking.
That's
you're not fooling us.
And yes.
Listen, InfoWars has told me what you're up to.
Take those sunglasses off.
Dude, I was actually going to post that the other day on my social media. We watched They Live the other night. For the first time, it's probably been 5 years since I watched it. Man, does that movie play a lot differently now?
Doesn't it?
Like, having just watched it, I thought, oh, shit. Like I said, let's watch something fun. Let's watch something we haven't watched in a while. And I was scrolling through, and I saw it was on Stars. And I was like, oh, let's watch They Live. Like, let's watch something fun. And then we're watching, and we're like, this is a harrowing view of, you know, this is weird watching this in 2020 for a movie over 30 years old. Watch They Live, everybody. That's another one. We're just going to recommend a bunch of shit for you to check out. and not in the hollow, you know, pretentious, do your research, you know, informed kind of way.
No.
Which is what everybody who watched.
I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum. Thank you.
I love that.
Peter.
I was joking. I shared something. I did post something the other day on Instagram about social media. And somebody saying, you know, I like oranges better than mangoes, and the person replying about how basically someone's, of course, going to dispute whatever it is you say.
Yes.
And I was going back and forth with my cousin about this through, you know, he's DMing me about it. And we were just kind of making jokes. And yeah, the people who say do your research are always those people who share memes that connect dots that aren't there, you know, connect flimsy dots, and also just watch a bunch of, you know, low quality YouTube videos. Which it was funny,
like the one picture from the guys from It's Always Sunny. You know,
what's that? Oh, you mean, is it a meme?
It's a still frame of a show from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia,
right?
Of one of the characters, because I never watched the show, so I don't know the characters' names. But one of the characters has this thing of, like, he's connecting the dots. He looks like the traditional conspiracy theorist with, like, you know, the pegboard behind him and all the red lines.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that conspiracy shit. I mean, people, I keep seeing memes in particular, because whenever I go to, and the majority of my time, if you haven't heard already, that I've spent mostly on Twitter and Instagram as far as social media, just cruising around and also posting on. But when I go to search, if I just want to see what's recommended, or now part of the feed in the latest app update on Instagram, once you get to the bottom of seeing posts you've already seen, it says you're all caught up or whatever the message is that pops up. if you keep scrolling down the feed, it will be suggested posts. So I end up seeing a lot of videos and memes and supposed information shared by, frankly, hot idiots who at best, you know, their entire profile is bikini pictures or butt shots or whatever it is.
Yes. And then the inspirational quote and then the, you know, save the children.
Oh, no, not even. No, this is even worse than that. This was actually one in particular who I saw. It was all bikinis and, you know, her bio was a link to her OnlyFans, which I do want to circle back to that. I do want to end on a funnier note. And this meme in her Instagram story was something about, and maybe people who are listening have seen it because it was floating around. This wasn't the only place I saw it. But the top of the meme, it's all text, just text on a white background. But it says, yeah, of course, I'm calling him 45, New Epstein. He admitted to that. But and it, every line is like this little equation. And at the bottom, it has like equals Biden and Harris. And I'm like, OK, you're connecting a lot of flimsy dots here. And at the same time, that's a conspiracy theorist problem, is that they want to give a complicated explanation for what's really a simple answer. And that was one of the things I remember. I think it was on your MySpace bio, if we really want to reach back. And you said something about you hating conspiracy, you know, types of people you hate, or if you're this type of person, I don't like you. Actually, I think that was the beginning of the bio. It was like, my name is Andrew.
I think it was a blog post.
Maybe it was a blog. My name is Andrew, and I probably don't like you. And yes. One of them was conspiracy theorists, and your explanation was sometimes things are exactly the way they are, or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, you don't have to make such a giant thought process out of it.
Right.
Like, sometimes our government is generally stupid.
Totally.
There isn't some bigger thought behind it.
Well, that's it. I mean, and this whole idea, and that's where this QAnon bullshit comes in, where it's like the whole idea that all of this stuff makes sense because, and then connect all these dots in a very flimsy way to say, well, this is what's actually happening. And that's why, you know, they look at 45s as God figure, this savior who's saving us from all the wrongs in the world.
I'm gonna disprove everything from QAnon right now. You know how?
How?
You know where it started?
Where? Reddit?
4chan.
Oh, 4chan? Yeah, of course.
Even worse.
Of course it fucking did.
Even worse.
And frankly, that was my initial thing when you sent me the Vox article and mentioned, I mean, you were incorrect. You said, like, you know, those quotes have been disproven. Well, they aren't disproven, but in my head, and that's, again, where my biases come in. I'm like, how can you not think this? Who am I talking to? Druanon? You know, I'm thinking in my head, like, has he gone off the U.S. spending too much time on Reddit? I fucking knew it, you know. First the Wayfair thing, and now this. So I was really, I was, and I get it. Like, how does he not see it my way? And I had that moment, which I get, a lot of people have, because we're all kind of fixed in our beliefs. But we do need to be flexible, and we do need to be willing to have the conversations. And after Andrew said a couple of things, I thought, okay, this is a bigger conversation than I initially planned. I think this conversation and the one we're having on this show, and we've had for the last near hour, is more interesting than, as much as, you know, we want to pay tribute and you know, show love and respect for people in the armed forces and people in our family who have been in the military. Yes, absolutely. But at the same time, this did open up for me something where I said, okay, my biases are showing. I'm saying, how does he not see it the way I see it? And that's kind of where everybody's coming from right now. And I'm willing to talk about it, which is what we need to. Now, as much as I am trying to convince Andrew of
that, no one wants to talk about it. Everyone wants to remain dug in their trench.
They want to stay in their echo chamber. They want to be surrounded by people who think exactly what they think. And look, there are people, as I've said, I don't post really on Facebook all that much. And I don't participate a lot, but I will scroll through the feed usually. And this isn't a dig, just honestly, usually when I'm like, I can't sleep and I just need something to kind of zone out and occupy my mind. And there are people I follow who are conservative, who are this current brand of Republican, let's say. And I haven't unfriended them. I haven't taken them out of my feed, you know, unfollowed them or muted them or whatever it is you have to do, because I thought I want to know at least what's being said so I know what's going on. For people who don't believe the things I believe, I want to know what they're thinking, even if I think it's ridiculous. I at least want to see what's going on. I don't want to completely shut that out where I think everyone feels this way. Everyone agrees with me, because that's the other problem with, frankly, the best name for the MAGA crowd, which I've heard is Cult 45, which I think is perfect. It's perfect.
That's the first time I've heard that.
And what's going on with Cult 45 is they believe everybody believes this. You know, there's fucking people on the, you know, doing their boat parade the other day in support. Uh-huh. It's like they think everybody, I mean, except for, you know, the coastal elites or the devilish Democrats or whatever the fuck they want to call them right now, and the media and Hollywood and all these other people who they think, you know. Aside from that, they think everybody thinks like they do because they're in their own echo chamber and everybody kind of does that. But
anyway. you can go back in the library from the only podcast that matters, and you'll hear us talk about back when it was something George Bush did, and I believe it was Robert De Niro and everyone like put tape over their mouths or something like that, and they were protesting. We talked about how, you know, certain stars would only use their platform for political reasons, and how even Ricky Gervais brought that out, where it's like, shut the fuck up. You don't mean anything you've said.
Well, there is a lot of that. There are a handful of people who I think do, but there definitely is a lot. I mean, we saw that on Blackout Tuesday. There are a lot of people who just posted on Blackout Tuesday, and it's literally the only thing they posted in relation to Black Lives Matter or police brutality or anything. And it's like, you're just hopping on a trend. So, okay, fine. Like there definitely is a lot of that. I do believe there are some good people. See, as cynical as I can be, I also believe people are ultimately good and good at heart, and people are doing what they think is right. And unfortunately, you know, there's this mass delusion / Cult 45 that does believe that what he's doing is right, and it is the right thing. So I'm not saying everybody's inherently evil. I'm not that cynical.
That should be your one of your pieces of merch. What's a white shirt that says Cult 45.
Oh, dude, they have to be out there. Somebody's got to make them already, I'm sure. But then, you know what? It might end up getting co-opted like a Deplorable did, you know, where all of a sudden it's something to be proud of, because people are proudly QAnon believers and followers.
Yes.
Which is fucking ridiculous, which again, that's the funny part. They want to say this story is not true, these sources are anonymous, it shouldn't be believed. Meanwhile, they all follow a fucking anonymous source that they don't know who they are. All they know is they're in the administration and they're feeding you information. So
they say they're in the administration. You don't know that.
And that's exactly it. For the same reason you doubt, you don't believe QAnon, for the same reason you doubt these four anonymous sources who said he called, you know, military suckers and losers. But that's the funny part. That's the irony. They don't get that. And that is a sick part. And that, I think, is the damaging part of it. I mean, while you can say that, you know, they're hypocrites in every facet of life, that's where it's really dangerous, I feel like, what's going on with that particular group now. And frankly, even the same thing when it comes to, you know, there's Michael Cohen, former lawyer for the president, a personal lawyer for long before he was a presidential candidate, and certainly long before president. Now that he's admitted and, you know, regrets lying for, especially because he took the blame. I mean, he probably does, but he also realized, wow, this loyalty was not rewarded. He threw me under the fucking bus as soon as possible, which is one of the, you know, another insidious traits. Thing is like all these people defend him, but as soon as they have a moment of clarity and they don't want to defend it, or as soon as they find, you know, their line where they realize this is not okay, he throws them under the fucking bus and all the loyalty is for nothing. And Michael Cohen is an example of that. I'm not excusing what he did. I'm not saying he's an okay guy, you know, despite all the enabling he's done. But anything he's corroborated, anything he's written about in this book that's coming out, as, you know, some bits and pieces are starting to show up, you know, in the news as far as information that's in this book to kind of tease the release of the book. Now, you know, the administration and people surrounding it are saying, no, he's a liar. He's a proven liar. He, you know, is in jail because he's a liar and blah, blah, blah. Forgetting who he lied for. And who he's working for and who he did the lying about, it's just he's a liar. So even if he says the president definitely says this and this sounds like him, blah, 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 he's a liar. He's in jail because he's a liar. Right. Who is he lying for, though? So there is there's such a strange, like, not what is, you know, through the looking glass element of all of this, right, where it's like, wow, everybody's just,
well,
it's,
I mean,
a lot of crazy.
All are mad here.
Yeah. At different degrees of mad, or different meanings of the word mad, I should say.
Yeah. So let's end this on the more goofy note of you talking about OnlyFans.
Well, here's the funny part. This, because it's been in the news lately, particularly because this whole thing, Bella Thorne, a former Disney kid, now, not really. I mean, obviously she acts. I don't want to say like movie stuff. Like, she's done movies, but a lot of celebrities of a younger generation. I mean, she's young. I think it's 22, 23, something like that. She's in her early 20s, is more social media star, former Disney kid, but she's got a huge social media following. That's kind of what she does. And look, that is a gig now. You know, make no mistake. People have a lot of following, can earn, followers can earn money through whatever.
Advertisements.
Oh, well, basically, yeah, advertisements or just throwing stuff up. I mean, people, it's so funny when you read these things about these deals and whatnot. You know, someone can get like 15 grand just for featuring, you know, some brand in their Instagram story. It's not even a post. It's something that's going to show up for 24 hours.
There's a guy I follow, Eric Dunn, whom I followed since Vine was a thing, who will, he admits that, you know, like he'll put before his post that this is an ad or something like that.
Right.
But then he'll sponsor whatever the product is. And I know he's getting money, but just because, you know, I'll admit that I'll follow someone for, I don't know what you want to call it, superficial reasons.
Right. Well, they're giving you free entertainment. That's the part people, I find annoying. Like, oh my gosh, I got to watch a YouTube ad before this video. I don't want to sit through a 15-second ad. Like, you're getting to watch a video for free. It's free to you. Why? What are you complaining about? And if you don't want to watch ads, you got to pay for it. You know. And at the same time, with these sponsored posts or whatever, I mean, I remember Chris Hardwick saying that years ago about, like, you know, he does the Nerdist podcast. It's free. He doesn't ask for anything. But once in a while, he may tweet out something that is ad supported or talk about some book or movie or TV show or whatever. And is it sponsored and is he paid for it? Yeah, but like he's giving you this shit for free. So what's wrong with the occasional tweet? Or, you know, the occasional mention of a product. Like, it's not that crazy, but everyone's so... I love it. Everybody's pure until it's their opportunity to cash in. But anyway, this Bella Thorne thing, because of it, OnlyFans has been talked about in, I don't want to say the mainstream, but it's definitely a bigger conversation than it was. OnlyFans is something that's been known to me for, well, it's got to be like a year or two. Definitely probably 2 years. I think it's before I lived in this. I've been in this apartment over a year, so it's definitely before here. Probably since I was in California. So let's say 2 years.
But back then, it was primarily for one reason.
Yeah, it was adult stars, nude models, things like that.
Yeah,
posting on OnlyFans, and it's become kind of like almost a Patreon type situation where you're subscribing the same way subscriptions are, just the way it is. People subscribe to meal kits and get those delivered. They subscribe to whatever branded mystery box that they get once a month. They subscribe to streaming services. Now you're subscribing to adult entertainment if you want, which is fine. If you're down with it and you want to support this particular person, cool, go for it. But it's definitely been talked about more kind of because of this, because supposedly this Bella Thorne character made like $2 million in 24 hours or something like that.
Yes.
By creating an OnlyFans. And anyway, Sherry was saying, like, what is OnlyFans? She'd never heard of it. And I kind of said, well, it's...
The poor soul.
Well, that's it. I was like, it's kind of where people... I said it started where it's like adult star. You know, it could be porn stars, could be models, whatever. It doesn't even mean it was nudity. They're just models on there who were just modeling in bikinis and lingerie. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just that. And like I said, it's kind of taken on a Patreon type of thing, or, you know, Kickstarter or whatever you want to call it. This fan supported thing where there are people who create art or who create video content or whatever. It doesn't mean it's nude or modeling, but people who are sharing whatever it is they create and having a subscription service that allows people to check out whatever it is. So it's not just for adult entertainment, let's say. And it's interesting. You know, I said this a couple of years ago on, I think it was Kickstarter or Indiegogo. I don't remember which one. But when Zach Braff was financing a movie and asking for support for this independent movie he wanted to make, and people were pissed off because they're saying, well, somebody like Zach Braff, who was on a network TV show for years and years and has money, he is asking fans to support this. And I said, but if you get support for $10 and you're basically getting a movie making class, he's taking you behind the scenes through videos and through the process of like making a movie. Right. And you're pledging $10 for that access, you're benefiting from that too. It's not just he's need to pay for money out of, you know, pay for a movie out of his pocket, which, by the way, that's not how shit's made. Maybe when you're getting started, it is. You know, you could be like Kevin Smith and pay for your movie on credit cards. I'm sure people do it now anyway. Shit, I pay for the show out of my own pocket. You know, my equipment's been bought. It hasn't been, you know, it's not sponsored or anything like that. But it is a way to do things. But anytime a movie's made, it's not somebody's necessarily putting up the budget themselves. So the idea that, like, well, you have money, you should invest in this movie. Like, yeah, okay. That's not how movies get made. But regardless, when it comes to when it came to that situation, people were mad because they're saying, well, Zach Braff is taking away from the support other artists would be getting, smaller artists who are trying to do this. And my argument at the time was, well, if anything, because he has his own audience, he's bringing them to this platform where they may explore more. And I think this is maybe 2013, let's say 2014. I don't remember exactly, but I said, it's also not like people have a monthly, you know, crowdfunding budget where it's like, I have this much to spend. Am I going to spend it on these three smaller things, or am I going to support the Zach Braff movie? I don't think too many people are looking at it that way. Now, that similar thinking I have when it comes to this Bella Thorne OnlyFans thing is people saying Bella Thorne is taking away our business as sex workers or as artists or as content creators or whatever they want to say. Same thing. People who want to follow Bella Thorne and pay to follow Bella Thorne on this platform are going to follow Bella Thorne. This is more than I've ever said this person's name in my life, by the way, since we've started the show. In the last 5 minutes, I've said Bella Thorne more than I have in my entire life. I'm not putting her down. She's, you know, whatever. She does her thing. That's cool. I don't think these are people who were going to spend money on, you know, following people on other OnlyFans accounts otherwise. And at the same time, I feel like that there is a potential benefit because people are getting introduced to OnlyFans who weren't aware of it otherwise, and they may end up subscribing to other people's feeds. So I don't think it's all bad in this idea that just like this $2 million could have gone to people who needed it more than she did. Well, that's not to say that $2 million would have been spent on your account. It may not have been spent at all.
So what I heard from this event is that the more of the outrage is the fact that she scammed individuals on her OnlyFans. And what happened was she was charging people $200 for a supposed nude photo of hers. And of course, you know, horny basement dwellers immediately sent her money because, as you said, she was a former Disney kid, and that's what they love seeing is the depravity of what Disney does to you.
Of Girl Gone Bad, also that yeah, thing. Exactly. You know, nothing purer than a Disney kid until they grow up.
Yeah. And then what they received was just a picture of her in lingerie. So what the people did is they immediately went to OnlyFans for a refund. And it almost bankrupted OnlyFans to the point where now the company has limited the amount of money that a person can make on individual items, individual posts, or whatever you want to call them. So that's the big issue. Not so much the fact that she was taking so much money away. It's what she did.
Oh, it's what they're doing as a result. Okay. See, that's something that I hadn't heard. That's not anything I've heard about it. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen, again, tweets or anything like that about it, or any posts from people who have only, you know, content creators on OnlyFans who are talking about that. All they're talking about, that's money that could have gone toward us. I'm not here. You telling me about the limits. This is the first time I'm hearing about that whole thing. Okay.
I mean, you can fact check me because I don't know for sure. This is just something else that I read, you know, third party.
I heard about scamming OnlyFans, and I thought that was the whole thing about her. The fact that she was on there, and I don't know what she charges. I think they, set a limit for the most you can charge for someone per month is like $50.
That was part of the information that I read is now they set a limit. Beforehand, there was no limit, and that the content creator could turn around and say whatever price they wanted. And what had happened was, like I said, she charged $200 for one supposedly nude photo,
right,
and ended up giving people just, you know, lingerie photos,
right. And that's another thing. I mean, I think anybody who was gonna, you know, if they were gonna tip her $100 or whatever the format is, whatever the verbiage is for buying this photo, then yeah, they were gonna give her that money because it's her. And I get that. Okay, now there's a limit. Because I did see something about that, actually. You know, now that you're mentioning it, something about a tip limit is like $100 or something like that.
Right.
But I would really like to know, not to say people don't get the occasional, let's say, $200 tip or more, but how many people are getting more tips than that? I mean, it's going to vary person to person, of course, but I just wonder how many people were getting like multiple tips of like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And at the same time, if there's a $100 tip, can't somebody, I don't know how it works, can't somebody just tip $100 in $100 increments? I mean, I get the subscription fee because I did see something like $49.99 is now the highest subscription fee. But are people really paying more? I understand. I have no doubt, I should say, that people are charging more than $50 a month for a subscription to their whatever they're, you know, sharing on OnlyFans. Are there that many people who are paying over $50? I'm sure there are some, but I'd be surprised, because I'm telling you, I've looked on a couple of, you know, models or porn stars. Some of them charge $5, some 10, some 20. But 20 is on the high end that I've seen. And most of them are like $10 and under for the month, which is like, frankly, a deal.
I think the highest I've seen so far, and it's like an all access pass subscription kind of thing, was $35.
Okay. Yeah. And I feel like that is on the higher end.
Yeah.
Considering what you get. I'm assuming, I don't know if everything's included, that's fine. But with looking into this a little bit, it's also like the thing that frustrates some people about OnlyFans, again, from what I've read, is the idea that you're paying, let's say, $10 a month for a subscription. But let's say you're following, you know, a porn star or a model. But if you want to see their nude stuff, you have to buy that through this tipping format or purchase it separately. So some people are turned off by the idea that, okay, I'm paying $10 to access this person's stuff, but I'm paying $10 for the opportunity to pay $15 for a video or for, you know, these photos or whatever it is. So the whole thing does sound a little bit like, I don't know. Like, I do wonder how many people are going to stick with something like that. If it's not being, I mean, obviously it's going to vary depending on what the person wants to offer. I've seen some porn stars where it's like, not going to charge extra, nothing to find a paywall, $5 a month. That seems worth it. It's got my curiosity, I'll tell you that. But but now that Sherry knows what it is, I can't do it. No, but that, which by the way, was the point. It wasn't to talk about, you know, the Bella Thorne thing and everything else and, you know, upset sex workers when it comes to money that they can't make now. It was really like, I was frankly surprised that Sherry didn't know what OnlyFans was prior to all of this talk in the last couple of weeks. But I mean, it does sound kind of shitty.
So what that means is you found your new source of income, and you and Sherry are going to set your own up.
Well, that's, and I understand that.
You know, there is a niche market for cookies and cream.
Oh, right? I have no doubt. I have no doubt. And that's what a lot of people have turned to during the pandemic. People have lost jobs and everything. There's some people who are doing OnlyFans.
Yes.
And turning to it for some kind of steady income.
Yes.
And I get it. And maybe if I was 22, I'd be down for it, but I'm not. Because there's still people just like on any other, you know, on Twitter or whatever, people don't show their faces, you know, just show their bodies or dudes who just show their dicks or, you know, whatever. So it's not even, you could still be anonymous on there.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like you need to be somebody. You just, you know, create whatever your stage name is, your performer name, and that's who you are. And if you're just showing pictures of your body or pictures of, you know, putting it in somebody or them putting in you or whatever.
42069.
I'll pitch it to her.
Bring Sherry on right now. I'll talk her into it.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, okay.
I know you want it. You're sitting home. Fuck yeah. But, please. I want to see your titties. But what you can do, folks, is, as I've said in previous weeks, there's a Patreon page coming, and it's probably going to start at like a basic $2 access to the feed. You know, posting on the feed regularly with announcements and things like that, and just to show your support because people do want it. That is coming this month. There are ideas being worked on. Jack and I have talked about a bunch of things we would like to do for the Patreon feed and different things we want to offer. But there will, if nothing else, it will launch with like a base $2 thank you for your support tier. That's coming soon. So that is definitely happening. Not so much necessarily the, you know, my girlfriend and I having an OnlyFans fuck account. So don't hold your breath for that. But the Patreon is imminent. And with that, see, Andrew was kind of sleepy when we started. Now he's waking up. and so is one-eyed Andrew as well. He's like, oh, you got to create OnlyFans. You and your girlfriend. See how we turned it around? You're like, oh, shit, I don't want to hear more noise about, you know, political talk and what's going on in the news
now,
and what's going on with the president.
Now Chris and his OnlyFans.
Yeah, now we're talking about Andrew getting a stiffy from me banging my girlfriend on video. And the potential opportunities that offers. You saying you'd subscribe, Andrew? What's your ceiling? What's the most you would pay for access?
All right, listen, whatever Sherry's going to show me, I mean,
I'll show you my dick for free, but, you know,
I know you will, but
it's a tougher sell. What's your price? Let me at least come to her with a number and we'll talk.
I'll pay $15 a titty.
$15 a titty?
Let's hit it. Yeah.
Okay. So at least $30 a month. All right. We got that. Folks, submit your votes. Man, that'd be something. Could you imagine? I mean, I'm sure there are porn. Well, I have no doubt. There are definitely porn stars who have podcasts and stuff like that. But can you imagine? Oh, yeah. It's like, well, we started off as a podcast and now we have an OnlyFans, everybody. You like the sound of me talking? Wait till you hear the sound of me fucking. Anyway.
That is your tagline.
It could be.
That is the tagline for your whole show.
Well, not only that, this is a best of 2020 clip for sure. Anyway, if you want to follow Andrew, and you should, on social media, you can follow him at metal_Drew, primarily on Instagram is where you can find him. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out. And you can follow the show at Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram. I want to thank Andrew for joining me for this conversation, which in typical Cape fashion was kind of all over the road, but it's not like it was just a serious talk about news, and that's kind of, you know, it's...
Listen, all of our conversations are like, you know, we can't stop here. This is bat country.
Well, lest we forget, almost 10, well, at this point, a little over 10 years ago, this is how the only podcast that matters started in the first place. That's
absolutely.
That's how all this shit's happening right now, because we're like, we're talking about this stuff anyway. Maybe we should record it and put it out. And that's how we get this thing here. It's evolved into this. But anyway, please also like, subscribe, share. Please help spread the word about the show. That's what we're asking for right now. We're not asking for you to subscribe to our feed and send us tips through OnlyFans or whatever. We're just asking for you to subscribe, give the show 5 stars or a thumbs up or whatever it is. You can write a little review and tell a friend. That's what we're hoping for right now. So until next Monday, for Andrew Rizzitello, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.
So squat.
Yes. And I'm fine with that, because it's about exposure.
Look at you exposing yourself on the internet.